is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Voskin. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 249 of The Next Step. Hey, this is a podcast about life and love. It's about spirituality. It's about looking at life through some ancient lenses. These lenses go back to the beginning of Christianity, but they're polished up for today. We call that polished look Armenian Orthodoxy, Armadoxy, and we're inviting you to take a look with us. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net as an expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, good morning. I'm so glad you're with us today. It is so beautiful today. So beautiful that I couldn't contain myself. I couldn't stay inside in the studio. I am outside in God's big studio watching a beautiful sunrise. It's like about an hour ago it came up, and it took me a little while to bring the studio out here. And fortunately, we have this ability. I've got to tell you, this morning has been so... It's just been a blessing. I walked around with a smile. My wife said, "What's going on?" I mean, usually, did you see that study? Yes, before I go there, did you see that study? Women are grumpier than men in the morning. Women need more sleep than men. So there goes the case against me being grumpy in the morning. But today there was nothing to be grumpy about. I took my walk. I listened to this incredible podcast about science, about technology, and the God question, the question of God. Okay, if there is no God, then how did this whole thing come about? And it was fascinating, although the person doing the podcast was an avowed atheist and from the field of science. It was just... it's beautiful because it affirms what I've been saying all along. Okay, you want to claim you're an atheist. Well, it just means you don't believe in a God that that everybody else believes in, right? Okay, I don't think that there are atheists. I think you've got to believe in something. And whether those are principles, you've got to come down to... Well, like Einstein said, you know, remember, there's that famous thing, I think it was Einstein. He said, okay, you can put down all the theories down on a piece of paper, and you can put down all the physics on one piece of paper, on a single sheet of paper, and you could basically understand all the dynamics and everything. But then you still come down to the question, well, who made the paper, right? Where did that paper come from? So it's been an incredible morning for me spiritually, and it kind of put a smile on my face. But it is also, today is March 14th, Pi Day. Yes, Pi Day. I know it's just an approximation, but it is 314. And I think it's 1-3, so in two more years, yes, it'll be 31415. So we get closer to the approximation. Way closer to Pi. Anyway, it is Pi Day today, and I'm glad you're with us today, although I know many of you are probably not in the Pi Day listening to us, and that's another advantage of podcasting. Not only do we get to bring the studio outside, not only do we get to record on a simple computer and microphone, but you also get to listen to it at your convenience. That's pretty nice, isn't it? I mean, you know, when you think about it, I mean, it's just really a wonderful, beautiful world. This morning, I'm listening to a podcast being piped into my ears from the cosmos, really talking about things that are out there in the space. I got back, I was able to catch up on my news, do some reading, saw a YouTube clip of one of my, actually a roommate of mine back at the seminary. He was giving an interview about the situation going on in Armenia, about the election process, and about the candidate calling out the Catholicos. And then, of course, there's all the news going on about the Pope. Did you catch that? If you didn't, you were probably isolated somewhere under a rock someplace. It was all over the place. But it was really just a wonder for me just to be watching. I remember at the last Pope's election. At that time, social media was just starting out, and people were talking, and actually I was following a priest, a Catholic priest, on his podcast at that time, and listening to him, Father Roderick, who was really kind of like a pioneer in the podcast, the religion podcast field, and I was listening to him, and he was there during that, and today it's just about in everybody's hand. You see everybody holding up an iPhone or a smartphone, recording this or that, and recording a bit of history. And sure enough, the last Pope, Benedict the 16th, resigned from office, and on his last day, he tweeted, he used Twitter to get his message out to the people, and today a new Pope is elected, and Twitter, social media, there's so many different ways by which this information is coming to us. No need really for the official sources that we that once inhabited that fourth estate, but now it's basically everybody is on their own to be able to compile and put together information. And well, that's really the case here. You know, last week after we got off the air, I spoke with our guest, Gala Danilova. And we were talking about that, about, you know, just the idea that now you don't need to ask permission. And especially in a place where she's coming from, the post-Soviet days, I mean, you look at the changes that have gone over there as far as a free society, a closed society, to an open society. It's remarkable. I mean, we feel it many times in the West. Certainly I do when, you know, a podcast of this nature, we're now in our fifth year. What was it, several years ago, you would have to ask permission, you would have to get somebody to sponsor it, you'd have to get airspace and everything. Well, right now it's basically a laptop. It's a few generous people throughout the world who are supporting it, and their generosity translates into buying some equipment and putting this out, getting some space. And it's really, let me say it this way, it was impossible before. Because you were talking about millions of dollars, if not millions, hundreds of thousands of dollars, really, to get the equipment and get the airspace, the license, and everything. Now you're talking for a few thousand dollars, you're able to put this together. And good news for you, as we were able to get our guest, Gala, up and running with a microphone and everything. So hopefully when she gets back to Artsakh, she will be putting together a podcast that people will be able to listen to, will be able to check into. Hey, before I forget, she's going to be at the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center this Sunday, March 17th at 12:30 Pacific time. That's right after church services, and we are going to be streaming that on our channel. So you do want to check out epostle.net this Sunday, again Pacific time, so 12:30 here in California, whatever that translates to where you're at. You do want to listen to this one. Okay, so we'll be streaming that, and I'll have it up on our website as well, epostle.net. You know how to do that, right? That's apostle with an E, right? Apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe. The Pope. Okay, I know. It took me a while to get here, but I do want to give some time to this. The Pope. Wow. I've got to tell you how moved I was. First of all, yesterday morning, I get an email from my sister. She says, hey, have you seen this new site? It's like called the White Smoke or something like that. And I went on there, and basically you put in your telephone number and they give you an alert as to what, when the white smoke comes up. So no sooner had I put that in, I'd entered my phone number, and I had gone, I did a recording session at the diocese. We did our In Step with Christ, and during that, you know, there's a couple techie guys over there who run the show over there. They've got all their systems and everything. So I told them about this. Now, when we record, I have to turn off my phone, And, you know, it's not as generous as the Next Step studio where you hear dogs barking, you hear people with lawnmowers next door and everything. No, this is a real sound studio. So we're doing the In Step with Christ, and I turned off my cell phone. So, but as I did it, I told them, hey, I got this new, I signed up with this new service, and as soon as the Pope is elected, I'll get the thing. Well, no sooner had I turned it off, I guess it had come in. So as soon as I finished recording, it's maybe about 10-15 minutes later, and I turned it on. The first thing that comes on, it says a new we have white smoke. So I run into the Dativ Outreach office, and there's Anna over there, and she's, you know, the news, she's got the news, hey, you know, there's a new Pope. I wanted to watch it, but I got in my car, and then I went down to the St. Peter studio. Yeah, these are from one studio to the next, it seems like, on Wednesdays for me. But we were at St. Peter, and I called in Maria. We put it up on our internet. And I've got to tell you again, it is just, like, so fascinating. The keeper of the news, it is no longer in the hands of just a few people living in that fourth estate. No, it's in the hands of the people. And so you're getting these feeds from throughout the world, and all you really need is this little simple internet connection. I say simple, obviously, you know what the infrastructure is all about. It's huge. But here we are, we're sitting in Glendale, and we're watching the Pope come to the window, and I called over Maria, who on Wednesdays she does the accounting at the church, and we're watching this, and honestly, I was moved to tears. First of all, when the Pope was announced, everyone's saying, well, who is it, who is it? And it turns out he's an Argentinian cardinal. And he came out, and the part that got to me, I think, was I don't understand Italian. He spoke in Italian, but I understood what he was saying even before the translation started coming over the feed that I was watching. And when he said, "Let us pray for the Pope Emeritus," and he started his ministry as Pope with the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and he led the congregation there assembled, as well as the world, in the Our Father. It was just so beautiful. It was very touching. I was moved. And then the Hail Marys. And I guess I wasn't as touched as much as I was in his next gesture. Because as the chief pontiff, his first act is to bless the people. And humbly he requests that the people pray for him. And he asked for a moment of silence. And just watching the people as he lowered his head, there was a lot of humility there. There was a lot of humility there. And I was, like I said, I was moved to tears, praying that God grant this man, his servant, the wisdom, the strength, the courage to deal with the task of running the church. I know there was people that afterwards, I shared this with actually one person who said, well, what does it matter? He's just the Roman Catholic pontiff. We're Orthodox. And I know there are people like that. And it's sad. It really is sad. As I've shared with you many times here on this podcast, and we have to get into this thing, when you talk about the apostolic church, you've got to remember that the apostles were 12 of them. And of course, one of them, Judas, is a disciple, never became an apostle. He leaves and they replace him. And of course, there are apostles such as Paul, the replacement for Judas, Matthias, and then there was the apostle Paul who came out. And apostle just means somebody who's got the message, who's taking it out, who's leaving, who's departing, who is sent. One who is sent. And so the apostolic church that we talk about is, yes, the Armenian Apostolic Church. The Armenian Orthodox Church is apostolic in that it can trace its roots back to the time of Jesus' disciples, hence apostles who came to Armenia. And likewise, the Roman Catholic Church traces its roots to the Apostle Peter. And just like the Armenian Church has Thaddeus, traces its roots to Thaddeus, the Roman Catholic Church to Peter, you've got His Holiness Bartholomew in Constantinople, Istanbul, you've got the Antiochian Church, you've got the Orthodox communions, and each of them claims to be an apostolic, and not only claims, but can prove, can show a lineage that comes from the time of the apostles. And so this is what we refer to as the apostolic church. And so the only contention, the only question then comes up is, like, supremacy. Who is first among equals? And this is a big question, I realize it, and because whoever can have that supremacy sort of controls the others. And that's where the questions come up. And one says, well, we're the top one. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. Others will say, no, this isn't it. But really, if you look at it through how Christ answered it, remember there was that question of who is first, who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus said, what you're asking for is something incredibly tough. And it means to be able to serve. It means to be able to give of yourself. And so we'll leave that portion up to God, and we'll do the best that we can to be able to bring the kingdom here on earth. So with all due respect to our friends and people who might suggest that, you know, Orthodoxy shouldn't be concerned with Catholicism, but it is all part of the same tribe of people, namely the group of people that were in communion with our Lord Jesus Christ, one being Peter, one being Andrew, one being Thaddeus, another being Bartholomew, and each of them, these 12, being brothers in Christ, going out to the world. And today, that's how we should look at it. These are churches that have developed out of the brothers, these brothers. And yes, social situations, ethnic makeup, societal pressures, you know, that figures into it. And so you've got a church that has evolved in the West. You've got a church that has evolved in the East. And there are different ways of approaching it. But bottom line is, you're serving the one Christ, and that Christ, in no uncertain terms, said that to serve me means to serve humanity. So getting out there and helping the people, loving, caring, and reaching out to people, that's the way you serve. I was very moved, and nobody's going to take that away from me. And I, for one, at least last night, and I will definitely this Sunday in my prayers, but last night during Vespers, had a special prayer, offered a special prayer for His Holiness Francis I, the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. And I ask for all of us to have that spirit of camaraderie, that spirit of brotherly love, because what we're trying to do in Armadoxy is saying that it isn't about those structures, but about that message that Christ gave us through apostolic tradition, and it has reached us and giving us an opportunity to become part of this beautiful family called the Christian family. With that, we're going to take a break and listen to the song of the day. And as His Holiness Francis I led us in the Our Father, how about the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, by Duduks? No voices, just the voice of the universe, so to speak. That Duduk sound. Yeah, that's right. The dumb. Here is Duduk Quartet doing the Hayyur Mer, the Our Father. didn't you? Yeah. I could hear it. The sound of the universe. That underlying dumb. There it is. Yeah, that's what you hear out there. You know, I could just imagine when you're out there traveling between the galaxies, traveling between the cosmos. That space. What will it sound like? There it is. It's a sound that resonates not in your ears, but in your heart. Okay, those of you who heard it, I know you heard it. For the rest of us who have mortal ears, and that was the Dudu Quartet playing the Haider Med. The Our Father, the song, the prayer that has been instructed to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And yesterday was just such a beautiful opportunity for us to say that prayer along with His Holiness Francis I, the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. And we congratulate the entire Roman Catholic Church on selecting its next pontiff in such an orderly fashion. I think that there's a lot to be learned, and especially for the pontiff emeritus, His Holiness Benedict XVI, for him to be in retirement. And it didn't take too long. Quickly, we saw that people were already putting up things. And one particular article caught my attention to draw the parallel. I was waiting for this. The parallel with the Armenian Church, like saying, hey, do you want some instruction? The Armenian Church has two heads, has two pontiffs. Well, not quite. Okay, in the case of the Roman Catholic Church, you have a pontiff who has quietly retreated and said that I want to take the rest of my life in as a hermit. I'm laughing because of the Armenian connection, excuse me, not at his gesture. But you have this pontiff Benedict XVI who says that I will withdraw and I will give my life to prayer. And not so within the case of the Armenian Church. As many parallels as people want to draw, it's not the case. It's like two heads trying to say that, hey, I'm supreme. And when it's so obvious that, you know, one has historical validity, the other one is political validity, and at some point you need to be able to say that, okay, there is one truth. And, you know, with all due respect for history and what's happened throughout the ages, there is time for one to say, okay, it's time for us to retreat. Our purpose has finished. And that's really the parallel, if anybody wants to make the parallel. And remember, this isn't me, but it's people making this parallel that, you know, the Armenian Church has two pontiffs. Well, if you want to make the parallel, then it's time for one of them to say, okay, my usefulness has finished, and it's time for me to retreat. I will be in prayer for you. And obviously that parallel has not been made, nor will it be made, because it's not about prayer, it's about politics, and that's something else, that's something that I'm not going to get into. In fact, it's the reason why we're doing Armadoxy, right, is to avoid all of that. But I do want to share with you right now, actually, a few books that have come to my attention. And actually, they're old books. Books that I pulled off of my shelf. Because during this Lenten season, it's been spiritually awakening, although it has been a tiring Lenten season. It has not let up. And we talked about this last week. You know, we talk about people taking the time during Lent to reflect within. But how about for the reflector? How about for the person who is trying to inspire, who is trying to be the giver? Does that person have a right? Does that person have a need to look within? And I was taking some time to just catch up on some reading and reread some of the books that had inspired me. And just before the Pope's election, before Pope Francis was elected, I had pulled off of my shelf Martin Malachi's book on the Jesuits. I thought, okay, let me read a little bit more about the Jesuits. And sure enough, yesterday, the Pope is elected. He is the first Jesuit to be elected Pope. By the way, did you see all the firsts yesterday? They had a field day with this. I've shared this with you, right? They have like a bunch of information that they have to pass along. So we're listening last night, and it's just like all this, the first, okay? He's the first from the Southern Hemisphere. He's the first from South America. He is first from the Americas. He is the first to have one lung. That seemed to be dominating the news last night. He has one lung. And then they were very quick, which I thought that was very nice of them. They were all very quick to say that, well, he had a childhood disease and the lung was removed. I guess to thwart off any comments, any kind of speculation that maybe he was a heavy smoker and that they removed a lung. And it was very interesting the way they were spinning things and things were moving around. And I get a big interest out of all this, how information is passed along and how we really believe the things that they want us to believe. You know, this is how, this is what advertising, this is what the Mad Men principle is all about, right? This is a special news alert. It is a pontiff alert from Pope Francis I. Very, very special news that demands that we listen attentively, and so therefore we have striked up the Apostle Orchestra and let you know that this is something very important that you gotta pay attention to, because late last night, only hours after the election of the Pope, in my email box, I received a notice from an Armenian news agency, the Armenian Weekly. It said, "New Pope urged Turkey to recognize genocide." Wow, that's pretty impressive. Of course, now the second line, it says in 2006. And it's important that we read the entire story. But on first glance, what do you think? You go, wow, here's a man he's just been elected. He thanks the College of Cardinals. He goes out on the balcony and he says, "Please pray for me and I pray for you. I commit myself to God and his work through the church. And now as your pontiff, I am blessing you. And by the way, Turkey, you better take care of the Armenian genocide. You better acknowledge it." This is what I mean by spin. This is what I mean by so many times I've said, we've got to get with the program. We can't keep doing this. You can't keep living a victim mentality. A pope has been elected. A pope comes to position. There are so many things that if you really fight for justice, it's not about justice in 1915 alone, but there is a justice worldwide that we need to speak about. But I digress. I just wanted to share this one with you. I thought it was rather amusing, the timing on it and how they just picked up that one line to keep us in that victim mentality. If you want more about that, kind of check out what we've been talking about the last several years. Check out the blogs. Anyway, let's get back to our show. Yes, we need the jingle. Anyway, I was reading about the Jesuits a few days ago, and it was interesting, a nice coincidence that the new Pope is a Jesuit. And sure enough, yesterday, Susie, whose day job happens to be within a Jesuit institution, she sent me a message from the president of Loyola Marymount University about their excitement over having a cardinal from the Jesuit, from the Jesuits, who was now selected as the Pope of Rome to govern over 1.2 billion Roman Catholics around the globe. And certainly the challenges are there. And, you know, it's beautiful to see the communities coming together. It's beautiful because this is what Christianity is about. This is what the church is about. It's not about fighting. It's about saying that we are one community. And so there is a lot to be learned in this process. And that's, you know, as we're developing Armadoxy and the idea that can we get a message? Yeah, the church is not some evil empire. The church is not evil. As many times I've shared with you, you always run across these people who say, yeah, well, I'm a spiritual person. I believe in Jesus, but I don't like the church. I don't like the religion. I don't like religion, but I'm a spiritual person. Well, believe it or not, it's the religion that brings you that spirituality, because it takes those forms, it takes those structures to pass along along that information, to pass along those traditions. And certainly when you talk about Jesus, it's not like he fell out of heaven, although figuratively you could say that that took place at one point in life. But what we have today is this kind of polished up version of Jesus that has been presented to us by movies, by oral tradition, and certainly by scriptures, which is far different from a Jesus, say, like who appears and is revealed to communities that are struggling with different problems. As we will see right now, when the cardinal now becoming a pope, Pope Francis, he brings in the traditions of South America, quite different. When you look at the platform, when you look at the issues that are being discussed over there, the issues of social justice, quite different from the issues that we are used to hearing within the confines of religious discussion. So this will be definitely an interesting period of time that we're going to be living through and watching His Holiness as He leads the Christian Church. And the reason why I'm saying this, these are the books that I had pulled off of my shelf, and during this Lenten season I wanted to read, and I've been like going through bits and pieces. But let me just share them with you real quickly. One of them is written by John Shelby Spong. This is a book that I read several years ago, and it is called A New Christianity for a New World. He was the one who had written earlier a book, Why Christianity Must Change or Die. And if you remember, a few years ago, I shared some bits and pieces of that with you here on the Next Step. That was the title of it, and he's a bishop of the Episcopal Church. Now, you got to remember, the Episcopal Church, there's another one that kind of branched off from Catholicism. It's basically, you could look at it as Catholicism without the Pope. But that was one of the books that I've been going through, and Why Christianity Must Change or Die, A New Christianity for the New World, and using these models, really, to set ourselves up. Another book that I pulled off, and this one is from college days. This is by Graham Greene, The Power and the Glory. And this is a book about, well, from what I remember, it was a priest going through Mexico. And I'm looking forward to reading these things again. And hopefully I could do them. This is sort of like a personal discipline, just trying to find the time. But it's happening. Yesterday, while doing the weekly show, we were talking about Advent. And with the Advent coming up, in other words, talking about the second coming of Christ, I pulled off some Houston Smith books, in particular his classic, The Religions of Men. And you look at so much of religion is about coming times, about things that are to be. And you realize that, you know, why are we so consumed with the tomorrow, and especially in reflection, when you look at what Christianity is, pure Christianity is about the now. Now, so think about that for a moment. When we talk about Christ, when we talk about God, the eternal He is, what are we talking about? We're talking about the present, the eternal present. Not He was, not He will be, but He is. And certainly when Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow, tomorrow has its problems. Look at the birds of the air, look at the lilies of the field. They do not worry about tomorrow. They don't care what's going to happen, but yet God takes care of them. It is building that trusting relationship, but at the same time, it sets you up in a time frame. Now think about that for a moment, the time frame. Well, now, connect the dots with what we were talking about at the very, very beginning. When you look at a cosmological idea of the universe, and you look at quantum mechanics, you look at these theories that are coming together, you've got these little quirks that have to find one another to create the structures that are going to be able to, like, what is it? I think neutrons, they're racing across at these light speeds, yet they only have about 11 minutes to find another neutron to cling onto to form the structure of life. Well, what is that 11 minutes? Well, that 11 minutes is by our time, but that time is relative too, right? Okay, now, not to confuse anybody, but this is all connected. This is all connected. The building blocks of life come about because of structures that have been in place. And who puts those things in place? How does God work this whole thing? People are looking for God. It's not too far away. It's within and without you, Christ tells us. And the part that is within us, we have to understand. The part that is without us may be the eternal mystery, but that mystery is understood by us for a very brief amount of time, just like the neutrons. You've got the 11 minutes. Okay, so we'll try to understand it within the 70 years, the 80 years, if we're lucky, the 90, 100 years that we're on this planet. Okay, try to understand it in any way you can. Don't look too far off. Don't look at that eternity. It'll confound you. But look at today. And in that today, you have that opportunity to love. You have that opportunity to share. And so all of this is coming together. These are just a couple of the books that I've been going through and kind of helping me in this process of putting this all together, putting all together the idea of Armadoxy. And I think I'm, whereas before I was kind of using this term Armadoxy as this idea of like, can we just get to the Armenian Orthodox tradition, excluding the structures and excluding the politics? Can we get to the basic meat of what's out there? Now I'm understanding that Armadoxy in itself is the value. It's the pearl, so to speak. The pearl that Christ talks about. It is the kingdom of God. And when you find it, you give up everything else in search of that one pearl. Well, it is there. It is something beautiful. You found it. It is the expression of love. It makes you feel warm. It makes you feel excited. It gives you that purpose in life. And so that is that treasure of great value. Are you willing to put everything on the line for that? And so in this evolution of Armadoxy, we're learning. We're learning and we're understanding how all of these structures come together, sort of the puzzle pieces, putting them all together. Now, along with this, we've been also going through the Lenten journey. The last several weeks, I decided to start writing up the Lenten journey, and it has given me some time to go over the audio notes that we did back in 2010. 2010, during Lent, we would do an audio blog daily to give a journey so that when you start Lent on the first day, where are you at and where do you end up 40 days later? And it is a process rather than just 40 days of, you know, abstaining from meat, but really be a guided process so that on day one you can think about things like prayer. What is that prayer? And as you go through, say, like on day 5, day 10, all of a sudden you're understanding that that prayer has a different meaning. So that when you are focused on prayer, say on day 28, when you're talking about the unrighteous judge, that prayer that you're reciting, that you're sharing, that you're speaking from the heart, has a different meaning than it did on day one. And so there's an evolutionary process. So I've put together this Lenten journey back in 2010, and 3 years ago. And last 2 years, we've kind of just like revisited it. Susie did her miracle work by changing dates and, you know, rebroadcasting. But this year we took a different spin and we started typing them up. And I've got the whole family working on this. My wife has been doing a few of them. Susan's been typing up a few of them. Anush has done a few of them. And I end up doing a few of them. So what we're doing is we're transcribing those original notes, audio notes. And then I'm having this luxury now, if you call waking up in the middle of the night and putting time into it a luxury. But honestly, it is a luxury. It is a luxury to be able to go through them and sort of bring them into, put them into written form and give them character. Now, those written form, those of you who have been following the Lenten journey, which I have to say is popular beyond my expectations. I knew that the audio blogs were popular, but I guess people are more inclined to read because the ones that now we're transcribing and putting up there are reaching new audiences and with good numbers out there. So the process is an evolutionary one. It evolves. It is rewarding in the sense that it is giving me some time for spiritual reflection to things that are very important. It's giving me some time to really connect dots where I thought dots may not exist. And that's, I think, it's like a very Da Vinci-esque, you know, you start realizing that everything is connected. Everything has some connection here or there. And that's part of the excitement, too. So, the Lenten season. We are towards the end of it. Actually, this Sunday is going to be the last Sunday of Lent. Next week when we meet, we will be at the end of Lent. I think it is day 39 that we're meeting on next week. So, let me give you a quick one on what's going on this Sunday. It is called the Sunday of Advent. And this is where I'm steering, because if you look at the Sunday of Advent, there's something very interesting. Advent means coming, the second coming of Christ. And if you think about it for a moment, what do you think about second coming? You think about end destruction, right? That's wild. Why would you think about end and destruction when you think of Christ? Well, because of the images that people have given us, because of what Hollywood has told us, because of what the fundamentalists want us to believe. And certainly during the time of Christ, there was this feeling of an imminent end. And even St. Paul writes his letters in that understanding of the imminent end. In other words, when he talks about don't get married, he's not talking because he's advocating the life of a bachelor for everybody, or bachelorhood for everybody. Actually, what he's saying that is, okay, if Jesus is coming tomorrow, if the end of the world is coming, okay, then focus on that and don't worry about anything else, because actually it's all going to be over tomorrow. Or when he talks about slaves, be faithful to your masters, it's like, okay, you know, everything is going to be redeemed tomorrow, it'll all be over, and so don't worry about it, you know, get on and think about your spiritual life in the long term, which is very, very good advice, whether there is an end tomorrow or not, because nobody knows. And so here's the deal. So when you look at what the Armenian Church prescribes on that day of Advent, as far as the reading material, it is very, very interesting. Because you would think that the Armenian Church might, on that day, break from tradition and say, okay, let's open up the book of Revelation, and let's look at the beast with the 666s, and let's look at the horsemen, and the divine plan, and how Armageddon will come in. Actually, let's put out some plans for Palestine and Jerusalem. But no. The Armenian Church prescription comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, of all places. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. And in there we read the story of how the scribes and the Pharisees, they're trying to trick Jesus. They're getting him to answer a question about what is the greatest commandment. And so in asking that, what are they asking him? They're trying to trick him how? By saying that, you know, they think that Jesus might say, okay, well, this is the greatest commandment. You know, don't murder. And then they're going to say, well, what about this? They're going to think that maybe Jesus might say, honor your mother and father. And they're going to say, well, what about this? And Jesus turns it around and he says, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second greatest commandment is like it. That's important. He says, it's like it. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, on these two, everything else is built. Well, obviously, if you love God, you can't murder. If you love God, you can't go out there, lie, steal, cheat, right? It's all connected. So the connection is more of a foundation at this point. In other words, like that vortex, and you see it coming from there, that if you believe in God, if you have this faith in God, this love towards God, body, soul, and mind, then all of the things fall into place. Interestingly enough, the Armenian Church has this as its prescription for the Sunday of Advent. In other words, if you're going to be looking at the second coming of Christ, what's important? That you are in line with the first coming of Christ. You understand the second coming of Christ as something that will happen. He is to come of the same body and to judge the living and dead. But that is God's domain and not ours. So it's not up to us to be worried about that, or even to think about that, or even to postulate about that. What's up to us is really to be in sync with his first coming, basically the love commandment, to love God and to love one another. That's how simple Christianity is. And that's the essence of it. By this they will know that you are my children, by the love that you have. Take that this week of Advent, as the message to really meditate upon, to really develop in your life. Here is Anush with today's pomegranate seeds, along the same lines about making the heart, not making it a heart, healthy and strong heart. Anush with today's pomegranate seeds.
Walking by heart with God. When I was young, whenever we were supposed to learn something totally and completely, backwards and forwards, inside and out, my teachers would say we'd have to learn it by heart. An interesting way of thinking, don't you think? Why not learn it by mind or by head or by brain? I mean, that's where the thought processes are. But by heart meant more than just learning it like a robot. It meant embracing it, learning it with every beat of your heart and feeling it coursing through your veins. Okay, I'm being a little dramatic here. We don't ever think about it this way when we're little, but you get what I'm saying. In a nutshell, do your homework, really learn it, and be ready when you're asked a question about it. I remember learning many things by heart: the Pledge of Allegiance, the Lord's Prayer in English, the preamble of the Constitution, and later all the verses of Miss American Pie. Growing up, we always prayed as a family, at mealtime, and Mom would tuck us in at night and say our prayers with us. And those were always learned prayers as well, except for the add-ins of people we would pray for. But in general, we would recite the Lord's Prayer in Armenian, and later on the 15th prayer of the I Confess with Faith, the Bahaban Aminaini, or O Christ, Guardian of All. As we grow up, we learn about prayer and talking to God, not by heart, but from the heart. And this is how I spend my morning prayer time with God, in conversation, mostly listening to myself and trying to hear Him or feel God's presence. And this morning, not having anything to write about today in mind, I asked for guidance on what I could share with you, and then I left for work. I have made a habit of praying by heart when I'm alone. When I was going through radiation therapy, I would recite the 23rd Psalm. I had my rhythm time just right, so that when the machine started, I would start, "The Lord is my shepherd," and I would go nice and slow, and just when I would end with, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," click, the machine would shut off. I found this very comforting at a very scary and uncertain time in my life. But I digress. Okay, so this morning I left the house for work, and on my 6-block walk to the bus stop, in the dark because of the new time change, I was praying the 24 I Confess with Faith prayers, and I got to prayer number 9, and there it was again, the thinking with the heart thing. Here it is, I'll share it with you. It goes like this: All-provident Lord, place your holy fear as a guard before my eyes that I may not look lustfully, before my ears that they may not delight in hearing evil words, before my mouth that it may not speak falsehoods, before my heart that it may not think evil, before my hands that they may not do injustice, before my feet that they may not walk in the paths of injustice, but so direct them that they may always be according to your commandments. Have mercy on all your creation and upon me, a great sinner. And so there it was. You get what you pray for. I asked for something to write about, and here it is. And it made perfect sense to think with one's heart. Whether we act in joy or anger, the emotion comes from the heart. The brain controls the physical functions of our bodies, but it's the heart that controls our actions. Whether we choose to love or hate, fear or embrace, it's all tied in with the love we receive, the hurt we felt, the disappointment, the happiness, the joy, and the sorrow. And it's the heart that controls all of that. For me, there's a place for both, by heart and from the heart prayer. The prayers that I've learned over the years are not a substitute for the conversations that I share with God in the early morning hours, throughout the day, and late at night. But they've been a companion to me in the worst of times and also in the best of days. They are a constant comfort, and they accompany the beat of my heart and the rhythm of my footsteps as I walk every day, by heart, with God. This is Anush wishing you a pomegranate day, filled with hope and ripe with possibilities.
Thank you, Anish, for that wonderful message. And definitely it's about the heart, isn't it? And in moving to the heart, what are you doing? You're opening yourself up to possibilities, right? Because all of a sudden, the heart is not rational. The heart is not logical. The heart is built on emotion. So it is through those emotions that, well, the dreams exist. And so if you want to start dreaming, you got to appeal to that heart. Very nicely done. Thank you very much. Great pomegranate seeds. Hey, here is Susie to tell you how you can get involved in this ministry. I'll be back in just a few seconds and wrap it up for today.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vodskin, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on 6 continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vodskin.
Thank you, Susie, for the reminder, and an important reminder it is, because, you know, what's going on over here through Epostle, through Armadoxy, it's all about putting this message out there in front of people. It is such a beautiful tradition that we have, and I certainly felt it this morning when I'm sitting around, walking around, and I hope you share this experience as you're listening to the podcast. You know, you're being connected through technology. You're being connected through the means of the 21st century. This technology, these means did not exist just a handful of years ago. I mean, when you think about that, still Facebook that has over 1 billion subscribers at this point, you know, what was it, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? No one had even heard of it. Or a select few people had heard of it, and they were experimenting with it. And things are evolving, just like podcasting. We are now probably, I don't know even know if we're a decade into podcasting right now, but certainly we're into the next step, so to speak. And things do need to evolve. Things do need to change. Our perception, our understanding of ourselves and the universe changes, but the very basic structure stays constant. And that constant structure is God. Okay, it is the I Am. That's why when Moses asks God, "Who are you? What should I tell the people?" He doesn't say, "My name is Jack." He doesn't say, "My name is Bill or Jane or anything else." He says, "My name is I Am." And think about that. I Am is the eternal constant. Not I was, but I Am. And so tomorrow when you talk about God, what are you talking about? I Am. He is. The eternal present tense. So that in 100 years, 1,000 years from now, people will talk about God. How? I Am. He is. So that eternal present is what God is all about. And as we're evolving, we're realizing that there are many changes, but the one constant is the eternal I Am. And what is that eternal I Am but love? Because 1,000 years from now, when people look at that, what will they say? Love is eternal. They'll say that love is still here. And so this is what we're about. This is what we're trying to to promote through Armodoxy, and realizing that the ancient Armenian Orthodoxy had this system. They had this understanding of the I Am. They had the understanding that of existing in the eternal present. We've lost it because of all the baggage that's been thrown at us, and we're carrying that baggage. So right now we're just trying to dump some of it. Dump it and realize that we can get to that point. And it works through all of us working together in a concerted effort. In other words, coming together and saying that I want to be supportive. I want to help this ministry. I believe in this ministry. Some of the easiest ways Susie just described, you know, get involved, make a donation, you know, pass along the link. I see jokes floating around. I mean, I'm sure your email inbox is cluttered with excess garbage. And, you know, don't you hate those things that people send to you? And they're not even funny. But at the bottom, you're even hesitant to look at the bottom because it says, send this to 5 other people. You know, if you really love me, if you really love God, you know, send this. Well, you know, what does that mean? I don't love God if I don't send it to 5 people? Well, that's the deal right now. I'm not going to tell you it's about loving God. It's like loving me. It's about, you know, if you believe in something, pass it along. Share it with people. It's not a hostage situation. It's a situation that, hey, I believe in this. I want to share it with you. Post it on your Facebook accounts. Post it here and there. Just get the word out. Because it is an important message. And it's being done because we have love in our hearts. Hey, we are at the end of today's show. I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank you for just listening in and sharing so much of your life with us. Love to hear from you. Our email address is feedback@epostle.net, or you can drop us a voice message at area code 626 in the United States, 275 Amen or Amen, depending on how you pronounce it. Or, you know, for those of you that don't have the English alphabet attached to the numbers, that would be area code 626-275-2636. And we'd love to hear from you. You could just leave a message there and do let us know if you'd like it heard, and we'll play it over here too. Listen, before we say goodbye, I want to remind you that this Sunday, March 17th, Gala Danilova, our guest who was on last week on Next Step, she will be making a presentation on the landmine issue in Karabakh. That will be streamed on our Ustream channel. You can get to it at epostle.net. Do go to epostle.net for all of your spiritual needs. It has podcasts. It even has 40 recipes for Lent. Vegan recipes. Not even vegetarian. Yeah, vegan recipes. How's that for community service? Okay, physical as well as emotional and spiritual. It all comes together at epostle. Listen, for the wonderful crew who put today's show and Epostle all together, for Susie, our wonderful producer, for Vahir, our wonderful webman, for Anish with her wonderful pomegranate seeds, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.